No brag, just fact.
Guns, self-defense, survival, current events, and your future.
Can't take me. Yeah!
We're rapidly approaching desperate times. Have you prepared your family physically, mentally, spiritually to face these times? Tyrant has overstepped his authority. What will you do when he comes to your door?
You can't take me,
The Shooting Bench, 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Central.
It's easy to take liberty for granted when you've never had it taken from you.
Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs. Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream sat one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man. And I can't seem to stop.
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge.
Above the mantle on a couple rusty nails, and it's worth a bunch of money, but it damn sure ain't for sale. The good Lord only knows all the stories it could tell. Granddaddy's gun, he bought it new out of a Sears and Roebuck catalog, and it shot a many shell over the top of an old bird dog, and it backed a burglar down when grandma took the safety off. Granddaddy's gun is just a double barrel 12. The stock is cracked and it kicks like hell. It wouldn't mean what it means to me to no one. I can hear his voice when I put it to my shoulder. Like a woman, son, it's all how you hold her. He taught me a whole lot more than how to hunt. And one of these days I'll pass it on to my son. Granddaddy's gun. He handed it to me on the day I turned 13. With a half-shot box of shells. Keep a picture in the case of that sweet old man and me with Granddaddy's gun. It's just
but it damn sure ain't for sale.
Welcome to the Shooting Bench on Survival Circle Radio Network, keeping you informed on guns, news, politics, guns, survival, preparedness, and guns. The tyrant is holding our country hostage, and our freedom is at stake. It's time to take a stand and tell the tyrant, we will not comply. Join me now in the never-ending fight against tyranny, right here on the Shooting Bench. All right, here we are. It is the Shooting Bench, and it's Thursday, and it's the 24th of November. No, it ain't. Wow, it's 24th of September. The expo's done come and gone here. Listen to me. I'm watching the chat room here. Everybody's making plans to come down here. I'm hoping this really turns off to be a great show here. We've got a little slow getting some vendors on board here, but we are getting a few. And we have, I think there's a handful of vendors coming down all the way from Washington. So that'll be good. We've got a couple of blacksmiths signed up here that'll be demonstrating their stuff. Of course, I'll have a booth set up in there, a couple of them probably. And Amy will be doing some stuff, I think. And we've got Sheriff Mac. Dadgummit, I forgot to send that email to Sheriff Mac. Sheriff Mac's going to be here. I'll probably send him an email at the break here. I was supposed to remind him, dang it. But we've got Matt Shea, Heather Scott, Graham Hunt, and we're looking at a couple of other liberty-minded legislators from down here. Ought to be a great rally. That'll be a good deal coming up here, and we're really, really excited about that. Be a lot of fun. For those of you that have asked about supporting LFA by putting our logo as your avatar on Facebook, we appreciate that. And it does help get the word out and get some questions and stuff. We have a particular avatar we'd like for you to use. So if you choose to put an LFA avatar on your Facebook page, then let me know, or let Tampico Scout know. We'll let you know which one that we'd like for you to use. It is an auxiliary member patch or logo. And basically, for those that are not, you know, active and doing stuff with us, you know, physically, you're pretty much an auxiliary member. You're, of course, if you want to have the patch on your cap and uniform and all that stuff, then you become a dues-paying member. But to put it on Facebook, I think that's a show of support, and we appreciate the heck out of it. So let us know, and we'll send you the right one that needs to go on there. So okay, His Aviator. It's been a while since you've been in here, I guess. Hadn't been that long though. Hell, we've been talking about LFA ever since Olympia. But yeah, Liberty for All is LFA. There's now two chapters. We have the southern and the northern chapter. The northern chapter is Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Wyoming, Montana. I think, can't remember. Anyway, I have to look at our map here.
And then the Arizona chapter is Southern Colorado, Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado, Utah, and Nevada, I believe. So, yeah, web page, Facebook page. There's a Facebook page for Liberty for All in general. That is Liberty for All 3%. And that is covers news and stuff, events that both chapters might be participating in. And then there's LFA 3% Arizona and LFA 3% Washington. So Washington stuff, you know, they got their thing that they do and put on their page. Oftentimes we may not share from one page to another depending on what the event is and whether or not it's relevant to the other chapter, but you know, a lot of stuff is shared. So B2Basic will put the things down for you there. So the how to get on those things. So okay, and B2Basic, yeah, this is gun night. So if you have any questions, throw it out there. I know you're looking to be gun salesman of the year there. So give us a holler. Okay. Before we get into any technical stuff here, B2Basic, tell them what the, maybe you can give him the URLs for those things. But you know, I think that this, and I'm not real well versed in everything, you know, about the Catholic Church, but I do know that this Pope that's, in office here now doesn't seem to be the best thing going for the Catholic Church. It seems like he's a little misguided in a few areas here, and one of them is guns. Here, not too long ago, a month or so ago, I don't remember when it was, a couple of months maybe, he said that the weapons manufacturers cannot call themselves Christians. He said, if you trust only men, you have lost. Which leads me to believe that he's thinking that, like so many people do, you know, put your trust in the Lord and you'll be okay. Well, I do that. I do trust in the Lord. But I feel like the Lord wants me to make some attempt to take care of myself. And that's going to be by being able to protect myself and my family and all of that. So we'll see how he fares here, but it doesn't sound like he's really going the right direction, as far as I'm concerned anyway. That has nothing to do with the Catholic beliefs or Catholic members or any of that. It's just this Pope seems like he's kind of lost touch with reality there a little bit. We'll keep an eye on it, see what happens over the next little while. Oh my goodness, sorry about that. B2Basic, wow, you opened up a can of worms there. What's better, 7mm or 30-06? Well, first let's define 7mm. There's a 7mm Mauser, 7mm 08, 7mm shooting times Westerner, 7mm shooting times Easterner, the 7mm Weatherby Magnum, 7mm Remington Magnum. There's lots of 7mm stuff out there. I'm assuming that you're probably talking about the 7mm Remington Magnum. That's probably the most common out there and the closest one to the 30-06. Excuse me. My goodness. So there's to make a long story very, very short, there's not a nickel's worth of difference in the 7mm Remington Magnum and the 30-06. There's when you talk about equal bullet weights, There is so little difference that it's not worth discussing. A 30-06 is cheaper to operate. You've got heavier bullet weights available. You've got more bullet weights available, anything from 100 grain to 220s for conventional ammunition. And with the 7mm, you can get down to probably a little under 100 grains. You can get up to 175, I believe, is about the most you can get in 7mm Remington Magnum. So let's go over some of the... Let's compare them here a little bit so you'll have a good good handle on this when somebody asks. The word Magnum is a is an aphrodisiac for people that like high-powered rifles. The if you take any caliber of any size and put Magnum on it, it is automatically already heavier bullets and kills bigger stuff faster than anything in the world. So the word Magnum to begin with was coined back in 1935 when the 357 Magnum was born. That was a Smith & Wesson deal. But like I said, now anything with that word Magnum associated with it is the thing to go. And gun owners eat it up. They're always all about the new turbocharged Nitro Express heat-seeking caliber of your choice, Magnum. So, hang on a second. My goodness, I think I swallowed a bug or something. I can't get rid of it. But, and of course, the 7mm Magnum, Remington Magnum, is one of those things. So, it's been around a long time, not nearly as around long as the OT-6. It came about in the early 1960s. It's a great cartridge. It's capable of making good, clean kills on any big game animal in North America. Been used quite a bit in for some African species. And it's very accurate. It's flat shooting. It's hard hitting. But it's a Magnum. The belted Magnum, they're expensive. Recoil is pretty stiff on them. It's or stiffer than the average 30-06. Anyway. But if you do a little bit of checking, you find out that there's just not that much difference, not that much better than a whole bunch of other standard cartridges. May not even be as good as a few of them. Now, the muzzle flash recoil and muzzle blast price tag, you know, all that we've already covered pretty well. So if you use the energy listings in any reloading manual that you choose, you'll find out that the old 30-06 is and 7mm are just almost two peas in a pod. Out to about 400 yards, they're not worth discussing, they're not worth arguing about. Depending on which manual you use, will vary as to which one is the best. But either way, they're so close that there's no argument. Both of these have less energy at 400 yards than 170 grain 30-30 does at the muzzle. Yet people will argue that the 30-30 is too light for elk, even at very close ranges. But they don't mind taking a 400, 500, 600, 700 yard shot at an elk with a 30-06 or a 7mm Magnum. Now remember, the 30-30 has more at the muzzle than both of these guns have at 400 yards. So the 30-30 should be more than adequate inside of, you know, 150 yards or so. But if you take, we talked about the, man, I won't get into this. I don't want to get into the Taylor factor. I was going to talk to you about the energy and stuff, but since you're asking questions for your employment, you may not need to get this deep into it. But I will say that if you look at the reloading manuals and look at the energy listings on there, you'll find that well, let's, if you use the, I won't go into the whole thing about the Taylor factor, but I will say, if you use the Taylor factor, you'll find that the 7mm Magnum shooting a Remington Magnum, not the Weatherby Magnum, shooting a 162 grain bullet. The reason I know this off the top of my head is because I compared this to my .30-06 when I was a .30-06 fanatic. But the 162 grain bullet at 2,900 feet a second, which is achievable, easy enough with the 7mm Magnum, it is represented by a factor of 19.06, 19. And the .30-06 shooting 165 grain bullet at the same speed, because they don't make a 162 grain 30 caliber bullet, at the same speed will be 21. 2 points, or if you will, they're not pounds, but over the 7mm. The diameter of the 30 caliber bullet is what gives it a little bit of an edge, more so than the 3 grains of weight difference. You can compare this. Again, this is, I've studied this stuff for long. I wrote a big long paper for this for the Wyoming legislature one time that included all these things, and I've talked about it, you know, hundreds of times. So for comparison, if you take a 44 Magnum out of a handgun with a 240 grain bullet at 1,400 feet a second, it comes to 20.5. A 308 at 150 grain bullet at 2,800 feet a second is 18.4. So you see that the 44 Magnum is nipping right at the heels as far as energy goes of the .30-06. That doesn't mean that there's as much tissue damage and that the 44 Magnum is as good around. It means that as far as striking force against a ballistic pendulum, there's not very much difference at all. The elk probably won't notice the difference. Deer damn sure won't notice the difference. But what I'm getting at is, if you're looking to buy one right now, man, buy the .06. They're more versatile, cheaper to shoot. Ammunition is a little more readily available. There's still a little bit of surplus stuff out there. You cannot go wrong with a .30-06. You just can't. And by the way, if you take a 300 Winchester Magnum, not the Weatherby, the Winchester Magnum, they are not the same, shooting a 180 grain bullet at 2,900 feet a second comes to almost 23 on the Taylor scale, which is actually less of an advantage over the .30-06 than the .06 is over the 7mm. So which one of these is best? The one that you have in your hands. There's not a nickel's worth of difference. Disregard the expense, disregard the recoil, all that. If you want to know just as far as performance goes and efficiency, effectiveness, I mean, on big game animals, there's really not enough difference to... what it does is extend your range just a little bit. Your 300 Win Mag with shooting the same bullet, you're going to extend your range by a couple of hundred yards to get the same effectiveness on a big game animal. So don't let your friends pull your leg and talk you into something that you don't want. Don't let some gun shop salesman BS you into buying something that you may not really want. It's easy to get caught in that trap, and every elk I've killed with either a .30-06 or a 44 Magnum, and never let one get away. You can, now with that being said, you can make the 7mm better by changing barrel lengths, by changing some of the other factors. If you hand load, you can make one or the other superior to the other one. But using factory ammunition, guns of same barrel length, guns being fired at the same elevation, temperature, and barometric pressure, humidity, and all that, you will find virtually no difference. There's 5 max loads listed for the 7mm Magnum in, I believe it's my Hornady, I think it's the Hornady manual. There's also five max loads listed for the 30-06 in the same manual. One used in the 162, these are the same loads I was talking about a while ago. One, the 162 grain bullet at 2900 feet a second, or the 165 grain bullet in the 30-06 at 2900 feet a second. So that's the standard. That's what I used for all my testing. So given this particular data here for the 7mm 08, I mean the 7mm Remington Magnum shoots about 69 inches low at 600 yards. And the 30-06 shoots 74 inches low at the same distance. And this is considering a 200 yard zero on both guns. And that's a 3 grain heavier bullet on the 30-06. So there's about 5 inches, 5.5 inches difference there at 600 yards. That's pretty negligible. That's not really worth discussing at that range. So you can figure you're a little less than half of that at 300 yards. You're looking at 2.5 inches difference. So what? Who cares? It's not a big deal. At a little more realistic range of at 300 yards, there's quite a bit of difference. At 300 yards, you're looking at 7 inches low on the 7mm and 7.3 inches low on the 30-06. Okay, I don't care. That's pretty academic at that point. Doesn't really matter. But the slightly heavier bullet of the 30-06 has a larger frontal area, delivers just a little bit more punch because of that. But again, it boils down to personal choice. It's basically just something to argue about right there. It's another Ford Chevy thing. You get right down to it. Let's see. B2 Basic, either one, if you're still talking about the rifle, either one would work fine. The 30-06 being equivalent to the 7.62 by 39, only if you're using the same bullet weights, which that's kind of hard to do because not too many people shoot 125 grain 30-30s. The 30-30 is superior to the 7.62 by 39 with 150 or 170 grain bullets. But if you compare apples to apples, 125 grain 30-30 with 122 grain 7.62 by 39, the 7.62 by 39 actually will outdo the 30-30 because it's a pointed bullet. And the 30-30, for the most part, is a round nose or a square nose bullet. So it loses velocity faster than the 7.62 by 39. The SKS or the AK, either one. SKS is a great little deer rifle. For those of you that you've been listening to me for a long time, you already know this, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway. If you take an SKS and take the gas piston out of it, and then it becomes a pretty fast bolt action. You take the gas piston out of it so it will not shoot in semi-automatic mode. It gives you just a slight degree more of accuracy because there's less movement in the gun. And it is perfectly safe, perfectly acceptable, will not hurt the gun. And all you do is reach up there and snatch that bolt back real quick and turn it loose and you're ready to shoot another one. It'll be the fastest bolt action that you've probably ever fired. And that makes it a great little hunting rifle. Or if it's something that you're doing that you don't want to leave brass laying around for some reason or another, then that's a great way to do it. Let's see here. The Peanut Rider, the 7x57. 7x57 mag is one of those that just will never die. The 7x57, 7mm Mauser is one that will never go away. That's been around forever, and it's always going to be around. It doesn't have the popularity that it once did, but it's never going to die completely. B2 Basic, just so you know, so that you'll sound very, very enlightened and educated and knowledgeable when you go to talk to your customers. You mentioned Seiko up there. You know, a lot of people call that Seiko. It's actually not. If you want to say it properly and really impress the hell out of your rich clients, it is Sako. It's not Seiko. Well, just a little bit of trivia for you there. All right, let me scroll on down here and see what's going on. Actually, it's about break time. I guess I can check some of this stuff out with... you know, Yakima Glock, we tried some heavy bullets with the 7.62 or 39. I was underwhelmed with it. I didn't get out of it nearly what I had hoped with the heavy bullets in that. Peanut Rider, I know a guy in Wyoming that killed 9 elk the same day with an SKS. He had done everything that the game department wanted to do. He had elk that was getting out at the Pitchfork Ranch out west of Meteetse, Wyoming. Excuse me. And he tried the gas cannons. He tried scarecrows. He put the fence up. He did everything that he was supposed to do, but the elk was tearing the hay all to hell. So he just had enough one day. He just went off the deep end, grabbed his SKS, and dropped 9 elk, 8 of them right there at the hay pile, and one of them run off about 200 or 300 yards. So all this crap. That you hear about having to have these monstrous guns to kill an elk is crap. Most of them are for hunters that don't know how to hunt. They want to be able to shoot out there at 800 yards and kill their elk. You know, if you're a hunter and you get inside of 300 yards or even 200, hell, pretty near anything you got, make a good shot. Place your shot carefully, and you can do it with pretty near anything. That I know a lot of people. I've said this before. I know a lot of people up in Cody, Wyoming, that shoot a 257 Roberts 7mm Mauser, 243 for elk, and for the most part, they're very successful. These are old, experienced hunters that place their shot perfectly. They wait. They're hunters. They really hunt. They really know how to hunt. Instead of just seeing something out there and just blazing away out of there until they happen to hit it, and then try to follow it for a day and lose it and everything else. So yeah, the caliber is not nearly as important as placing the shot in the right place. That's the big thing there. All right. Well, I got to get a drink here and take a little break. So I'll be right back.
Where were you when the world stopped turning on that September day? You in the yard with your wife and children, or working on some stage in L.A.? Did you stand there in shock at the sight of that black smoke rising against that blue sky? Did you shout out in anger and fear for your neighbor, or did you just sit down and cry? Did you weep for the children, lost their dear loved ones, pray for the ones who don't know? Did you rejoice for the people who walked from the rubble and sob for the ones left below? did you burst out with pride with the red, white, and blue? And the heroes who died just doing what they do? Did you look up to heaven for some kind of answer? And look at yourself and what really matters? I'm just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. I watch CNN, but I'm not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. But I know Jesus, and I talk to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are some good things He gave us, and the greatest is love. Where were you when the world stopped turning on that September day? Teaching a class full of innocent children, or driving down some cold interstate? Did you feel guilty 'cause you're a survivor? In a crowded room, did you feel alone? Did you call up your mother and tell her you loved her? Did you dust off that Bible at home? Did you open your eyes and hope it never happened? Close your eyes and not go to sleep. Did you notice the sunset first time in ages? Speak to some stranger on the street. Did you lay down at night, think of tomorrow, go out and buy you a gun? Did you turn off that violent old movie you're watching and turn on I Love Lucy reruns? Did you go to a church and hold hands with some strangers, stand in line and give your own blood? Did you just stay home and cling tight to your family? Thank God you had somebody to love. I'm just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. I watch CNN, but I'm not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. But I know Jesus, and I've talked to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are some good things He gave us, and the greatest is love. I'm just a singer of simple songs. I'm not a real political man. I watch CNN, but I'm not sure I can tell you the difference in Iraq and Iran. But I know Jesus, and I've talked to God, and I remember this from when I was young. Faith, hope, and love are some good things He gave us, and the greatest is love. And the greatest is love. And the greatest is love. Where were you when the world stopped turning on that September day?
It was over in a moment and the folks had gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have won on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron, big iron.
All right, we're here. I guess you guys heard today that a bunch of Muslims trampled themselves to death. They had a little stampede. And we don't know how many of them were killed, but we do know that there was over 700 of them killed. So, on to more important things. You know, talking about these calibers here a while ago, I think that we lost along with so many other things, you know, the testicles of the American male and whatnot, during all this time, I think we always also lost the ability to, you know, we lost the real hunters, a lot of them. You know, back in, you go back just a few years, and Jack O'Connor said he thought the 270 with a 130 grain bullet was the greatest thing on wheels. There was nothing in North America and Africa that Jack O'Connor hadn't killed with a 270 and a 130 grain bullet. So, you know, and I've said this 10,000 times, you know, place the bullet in the right place, and it's really not that critical. People get all butthurt about their favorite caliber and whatnot, but, you know, when I went back to the 308, you know, I figured out that all the 308 did was really essentially knocked off 100 yards off of my maximum range that I had with a 30-06. It's just not that big a deal. It's not rocket science. If Jack O'Connor can kill all these elk with a 130 grain bullet out of a 270, I can damn sure do it with a 165 or 180 grain bullet out of a 308. So which is better for elk, the 30-06 or the 7mm Remington Magnum? Well, maybe it's the 308 or the 270. You know, out of those two, sheerly personal choice. Means nothing. I'd still take the 30-06. If I had unlimited money, could have anything I wanted, any amount of ammunition that I would ever want for anything in the world that I could get. Let me rephrase that. Let's say, and I had the choice of those two calibers. Let's do that. I would take 30-06, hands down. I wouldn't. There wouldn't be a second thought about it. No problem at all. Edge of the Woods just joined us there. Yeah, I'll get with me out of the after the show if you got something there, Edge of the Woods. Think of all the goat's virginity that'll be saved with 700 Muslims biting the dust there. Oh well, one of those things. And Peanut Rider's right. There was a hell of a bunch of elephants killed with 7mm Mausers, and it's again just a matter of placing a bullet in the right place. A bullet, you've got to have something like 22 inches of penetration to get into the right place on an elephant. But from what I understand, the bone and stuff in the elephant's head is rather soft, and with a decent solid bullet, you can get deep enough in there to do that. Old Larry, what's the guy's name from Magnaport? Anyway, he killed 5 elephants with a .44 Magnum handgun. He took bullets that were turned out of carbide, tungsten carbide. No, I was going to say titanium. That's not right. Tungsten carbide with a jacket of some kind on them to save the barrel of the gun. And he killed 5 elephants in the same trip with a .44 Magnum handgun. So, yeah, it can be done. Don't stress and lose a bunch of sleep over having, you know, the latest, greatest, hottest, coolest, sexiest caliber and gun out there. Get one that fits you. Get one that you like. Get a recoil, all the things that go along with it. Make sure that you enjoy shooting the gun. And it'll work for you. It'll work for anything. Obviously, I'd rather use a 270 or a 308 or something like that for antelope rather than a 4570. Would the 4570 work for antelope? Absolutely. I killed one with one. I had a 4570 handgun in a contender. And No. I didn't kill that one. I killed several deer with a 4570. That was a 7mm TCU. It was a 223 case necked up to 7 millimeter that I killed a couple of antelope with. Anyway, enough of that. But the long slide, boy, you don't know how right you are. The magazines out there, and we could always tell when I had the gun shop, we could always tell when Guns and Ammo and Shooting Times would come out with a new story of something, anything. It didn't make any difference what it was. And as soon as they did, we automatically, without any discussion at all, if it was a new gun coming out and there was a big article about it, we'd go out and buy, you know, two or three of them to put in the shop right away so we'd have them when people come in and ask for it. And that was the thing that sold that stupid XD so much, as Smith and Wesson, or Springfield, put a ton of money into promoting that XD. And it worked. They put lots and lots and lots of money into advertising on that thing, and it worked very well. Okay. Cape Buffalo does have a little different configuration of head and bone and stuff there, absolutely, than elephant does. But there's some other ones out there that are a little tough to knock down, depending on the caliber, but the elephant's not one of them. Let's see here. Well, we're getting pretty close to quitting time. I hope that everyone understands what this expo is about. It is about constitutional gun trading. It's all private vendors, no FFL trading or transfers at all. If you find a gun and you're uncomfortable with not complying with, or you're uncomfortable with, yeah, if you're uncomfortable with not complying, then you'll have to do your FFL transfer somewhere off the premises. They will not be allowed on at the show. Now, can FFLs be at the show? Absolutely. We encourage them. It's just not going to sell guns. They can sell ammo. They can sell knives, archery equipment. They can sell whatever they want to, except guns that require FFL transfers. This is a constitutional gun expo. And like I said, there'll be some training. We've got a little classroom up there that it's upstairs. It'll seat probably 12, 15 people, plenty of room for instructor to move around, have your stuff up there. And we're going to have some training throughout there. We're still hoping that Edge of the Woods will make it over there. And he can do a medical class or two. And we've got, like I said, the blacksmiths. They'll be out there not really doing training, more demonstrations than anything else. There'll be a guy here for long-range rifle shooting. There'll be another medical class unrelated to what Edge of the Woods does. It's more of a Red Cross type thing and a blowout kit type thing. And what else? Permaculture. There'll be a permaculture class there. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. The Eddie Crump, your XD is a piece of junk. But just so you know. And Mountain Shooter, what are you talking about scopes? We talked about scopes all night last night. What are you looking for? Did we miss something or what? Alrighty then. Okay. What? The Mini Men Pen just got an elk story up here. Man tracking elk breaks both bones. You know, there was a guy up in right outside. Actually, he was out west of Meteetse, Wyoming also. Not as far out as the Pitchfork Ranch. But there was a, he was out hunting horns. He was going out and gathering horns. Horn hunting is a big deal in this part of the country, in Wyoming and everywhere where there's elk and deer. You gather those horns up, those sheds as they call them, and sell them by the pound. I've got some pictures of a huge warehouse. I shouldn't say a huge warehouse. It's a pretty good sized warehouse, but it's packed top to bottom, side to side, with elk antlers. And anyway, there was a guy up there was hunting elk horns, and a grizzly bear got after him, and he had elk horns in his backpack, and he got to running from the grizzly bear and fell down, stabbed himself in the back, in a kidney, with one of the elk horns that he was carrying on his back. Now, the grizzly bear went away and left him alone. And luckily, I don't know why it did, but it didn't kill him. I think his partner was with him, maybe, and scared him away or whatever it was. So, anyway, it was an interesting story, but we were talking about, okay, and he did not have a handgun with him. And that was, I think that was what brought up the discussion, was having handguns when you're out, even when there's nothing in season or whatever. These guys just weren't self-defense minded at all. And didn't have a gun with him. So. Anyway, I have babbled enough. There will be no live Liberty Lounge tomorrow. But for Eddie Crump's sake, there will be a Liberty Lounge. We would not let Eddie miss Liberty Lounge. So, but it just won't be live. As I said last night, my middle daughter has been nominated for Homecoming Queen. And I am going to be in New Mexico watching this game and watching the crowning, and I hope she gets it. But like I said, I haven't spent enough time with her over the years after this divorce and everything, so I'm going to definitely go over. I'm hoping that Amy will be able to go with me and watch her. Carla really likes Amy. So anyway, be that as it may, we're going to get on out of here. We will not be on tomorrow, neither one of us. But we'll be back with a vengeance on Monday with news of news you can use. All right, I'm out of here. We'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Have gun, will travel, reach the car of a man. A night without armor in a savage land. His fast gun for hire keeps the calling wind. A soldier of...
Okay, that about wraps it up for another PM edition of the Shooting Bench. Join me every Thursday night for 2 hours of 99 and 44 100% pure gun talk. Good night.
A chestnut of silver is his badge of trust.